Hi, my name's Gwen. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. This court decision can really impact people's lives. You know, I'm a young LGBT woman, and I'm honestly afraid. I'm very afraid for what my future holds ahead of me now that there's going to be a conservative-leaning court for the next who knows how long.
You've been weighing in on Justice Kennedy's retirement, how you think it might affect you personally, and who should replace him and when.
Charlotte, North Carolina. I believe that they should absolutely go ahead and have the vote for the next Supreme Court justice based on the fact that it is not a presidential election. It is the president who should choose the nominee, not Congress, not Senate. The president, remember that.
Hi, this is Anna from Maynard, and I'm absolutely terrified that we'll see the end of Roe versus Wade if Trump gets to choose who the next Supreme Court justice is. I firmly believe that the Democrats should do exactly what the Republicans did and hold up the nomination until a Democrat is in office.
Last year, whenever Mitch McConnell decided that Merrick Garland wouldn't get a vote in the Senate, he said this was in order to let the people have an input in the next Supreme Court justice.
This is Judy Ingolito from Colorado Springs, Colorado. You know, we need to do, and Mitch McConnell needs to do, exactly what he fought so hard for just a year or so ago, and delay the appointment of a new Supreme Court justice until after the elections and the newly elected members of Congress, the Senate, are sworn in.
This is Jose Manuel from Orlando, Florida. I think the Supreme Court justice should be selected and voted on right away.
This is Justin from St. Louis, Missouri. The idea of a magical progressive Supreme Court is a myth. It's an inherently conservative organization made of successful and established people every time.
Yeah, hi, my name is Paul. I'm calling from St. George, Utah, and it's really interesting to watch the liberal Democrats enduring the same thing that us conservatives endured during the Obama administration. I'm not saying one is right or wrong. It's just interesting to see everything flipped way the other way.
At this point, all the energy and actions focused on the process. Who's going to be chosen? When will the vote take place? Which senators can be persuaded? There's going to be an enormous amount of money spent trying to sway the decisions of just 3 to 4 senators. But in less than 5 months, the action is going to move to the ballot box. Republicans are hopeful that the addition of another conservative Supreme Court justice will be just the shot of adrenaline they need to motivate their voters. There's empirical and anecdotal evidence that more Republicans than Democrats base their 2016 vote on the Supreme Court. Of course, it's also going to fire up and motivate the already engaged Democratic base. And it also may bring out younger voters to the polls that Democrats have had a hard time getting to vote in non-presidential years. A battle over abortion rights is likely to exacerbate the challenge Republicans and Trump already have with white suburban women. In fact, the most recent NBC Wall Street Journal poll found college-educated white women voters preferring a Democratic candidate by 30 points. Many of the most competitive House races in the country this year are in places like suburban Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and New Jersey. But the battle for the Senate is taking place on much redder and more rural terrain. There are 5 Democrats up this fall who sit in states that Donald Trump carried by 19 points or more. Can those red state Democrats afford to buck a president who remains popular in their state? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a constitutional scholar. What I do know is politics. But even I don't know how this issue is going to play out in 2018. And let's face it, by November, heck, by next week, we could have another issue emerge that's even more pressing or influential than this one.